You're saying the water nugget is the land?
No. The water nugget's where you got to land, but when you hit the land, you're going there because you didn't know the water nugget was the goal.
He's talking about the land tenders.
It's the same problem. It's a semantics issue, and I love that we get to keep saying nugget.
No, please. It's land tenders and water nuggets.
Land tenders and water nuggets.
I hate you, Nolan. Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name is Dustin.
My name is Kenny.
My name is Nolan.
And this is episode 103. And this past week, the Red Dead Redemption 2 story trailer dropped.
Hype. Although I've never played through the first one.
At all?
He's played just a little at my house, okay. But that's about it, right?
Well, I bought it for PS3 when I bought a PS3 really late, and I never finished it.
You didn't get deep into it at all, though,
no,
right?
No. Yeah. But I could tell it was an amazing game. I think that was when I was getting married, and then I just got busy.
Well, and you haven't played it all the way through either, Kenny, right?
No, I've played probably...
Kenny doesn't play games.
3-4 hours of it.
So here's the thing. Red Dead Redemption is widely considered to be one of the better games out there, you know, like one of the
recently.
Strong,
oh, absolutely.
With music and graphics and storytelling and character and all of those things.
It's Rockstar.
It's Rockstar, yeah, and they put out quality content. Mm-hmm. Red Dead Redemption 2 is promising to be another one, so a lot of people are excited because it is number 2 and in the Red Dead series, and everybody was trying to figure out what was it going to be. Was it going to be the story of the main character from 1, John Marston? Was it going to be a sequel to follow his life and story? This trailer told a lot, and it's going to be a prequel, actually.
Oh, wow.
However, it's the story of, and I'll just read kind of what they put out, it's the story of outlaw Arthur Morgan and the Vanderlyn Gang as they rob, fight, and steal their way across the vast and rugged heart of America in order to survive. So what that means is that we're playing a completely different character, one that was not in the first game, but it is the gang, Vanderlyn Gang, that's mm-hmm. Dutch's gang from the first one that John Marston used to be a part of before the current events
right.
of Red Dead Redemption.
I was going to say, I remember that gang name. That's interesting. So you're a bad guy, or
yeah, you're a pretty terrible guy. You've got to watch the trailer, and you get a little bit of that. But
that sounds awesome.
You're most likely going to meet a young John Marston who's joining the gang that you're a part of. Like, it's pretty interesting. And what's even more exciting is that it says spring 2018 as the release date.
Wow, I would expect like summer or something. That's not at all far.
No,
interesting.
You think you'll play it?
Well, I need to get on that first one. Is the first one for PC? That'd be great.
No, remember, this is Rockstar. Rockstar only puts things out for PC about 12 years later.
Well, it's been that long, but they did GTA 5 on PC.
Yep, they did, but it was like 5 years.
I'll get off the PS3 and I'll play the first one, so yeah, eventually.
Kenny?
Probably not.
Thanks for your honesty.
I most certainly will play it. Red Dead Redemption 2 is certainly not the first prequel ever. 3 Deep, Swampy's Revenge, The Great Quest, Temple of the Frog, and Frogger Returns are all sequels to the prequel that started it all and is our retro game of the week, Frogger.
Overview.
Wait. Did you just say that this was a prequel because there are sequels?
You gotta wake up, Kenny.
Kenny, get with the times, bro.
It's a fast-paced
podcast.
Like, any game that has a sequel, you immediately...
We keep it going, and
like
you just
every, snap. Every first game is a prequel.
You just gotta be ready,
if they
Kenny.
Make more.
Kenny, you just gotta be ready.
No, that logic is so funny to me.
The game Frogger was developed by Konami, and it was published by Sega, and it came out in 1981 for the arcade. Let me just let you know, for those of you that are not that good at math, that's a long time ago.
It is a long time ago.
And Frogger is... It's one of those arcade masterpieces, right? Alongside the likes of Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and Dig Dug.
Yeah, probably not quite as iconic as some of the Pac-Man games... maybe Donkey Kong, but besides that, one of the most recognizable titles.
For sure. Yeah,
it's one of those arcade classics, the ones that, like, if you just get together a top 10 list of, like, most iconic arcade games, Frogger will be up in, like, in the 8, 9, 10 range, and so it sometimes might not make those lists, but it's right up there within those top 10, along with Galaga. I mean, we could throw out some other ones.
Oh, yeah.
Like Gauntlet, but I think it's within that set. And it's very simplistic in the nature of the game. In fact, good luck if we can make it to 30 minutes worth of content here in this episode.
I'm a little worried.
No, we got plenty of things to talk about.
Okay, Ribbit, right? That's one.
Right.
Right. Ribbit.
Jumps.
I mean, we gotta talk strategy, you know?
It's okay, so the object of the game is to get your frog icon across the street and then across a river to its home. And that sounds easy enough until you add speeding vehicles on the road and aggressive snakes and alligators in the river that are deterring you from getting to your intended destination. On top of that, with each and every stage, the speed drastically ramps up. The speed of the cars, the speed of the logs that you're having to cross, the turtles. We'll talk about some of those in the gameplay section. But that is fundamentally the way that you play the game. You get from the bottom of the screen to the top of the screen. In the process, you can collect some flies for extra points, and then you can also collect like a female frog is what it's supposed to be. Ooh. On your way, and then carry it to your destination, which gives you bonus points as well.
Bonus points indeed. I didn't know those were flies. I couldn't tell what they were.
Yeah, so yeah, it's hard to tell what some of these are. I couldn't tell it was a female frog for the longest time. But yeah, the female frog is what you can get along the way, and then the flies are what's at the top of the stage. Cool thing is that it is one or two players. Of course, it's alternating, so it's not that you're going at the same time.
It's not like co-op,
simultaneous two-player. It's just, who gets the higher score playing one and then the other.
And with as is with most of these early arcade games, you're fighting for a high score. So there's not a story you're trying to complete. There's not any other task or ability. You're just trying to get the highest score. And once you die, I think you may have three lives, and you get an extra life at a certain point. But that's it. Once you die, then it registers your high score. You put in your three initials or whatever three letters you want, and you go into the Hall of Fame forever.
Forever and ever.
So this is an arcade game. Have either of you played it in the arcade?
Not in the arcade. I think I played it the most on Game Boy, on the Game Boy port back in the day, which was different, but I mean, you can change the game from port to port, but it's still Frogger. The fundamentals are there. The goal is there. So I played a lot of it on Game Boy, though.
I think I've played it in arcade, but it's been a number of years and not excessively on arcade.
Yeah, and it wasn't one that I grew up playing in arcade. In fact, I think we played most of the PlayStation version. By the way, we'll talk about it at a later section. Frogger is on virtually every single console and system. You can play it on your phone. You can play it on your calculator.
Standalone games that are just this game.
Seriously.
With every variety of graphics.
You can play Frogger on virtually anything whatsoever. But I did, like 2 weeks ago, I mentioned on a previous episode that for my birthday, my brother and I were at an arcade and Frogger was there. So we alternated. And it was actually probably the most fun arcade game that I enjoyed while there. And they had some other great games there. Like we played Gauntlet, which was actually really awesome too. But Frogger was there and had a lot of fun with that arcade title.
Do you think it was so much fun because you were playing with someone, or do you think you would still have gone to that arcade box by yourself?
I would have gone anyways, just because it's Frogger, right? The title. It obviously makes it more fun when playing with someone, but Frogger itself, I've always been a fan of. Very simplistic design and very easy to get into, hard to master.
There's an appeal there, almost like Snake or something universal, that is just easy to pick up, but kind of fun on its own, no matter what. Nothing too complex, but I definitely see the appeal of playing it if you have that versus other old, really old games to choose from.
Before we move on, can you guys help me out with something?
Yeah.
Frogs, right?
Right.
Frogs.
Amphibians.
Right.
Yeah.
They can also swim, right?
Yes.
Why can't our frog get in the water? Why is it instant death?
And also, why can't he at the end?
Why can he at the end at his intended destination, but not before? The current just too strong?
The current too strong.
Current's too strong.
That's what I'm going with.
Hashtag current too strong.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we solved the problem. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's like Dante's Peak, and it's like acid water. There was a volcano that erupted recently. I don't know.
You didn't have to.
You didn't have to do all of that.
You didn't have to go there.
Gameplay.
So the gameplay, like Dustin said, is very simple. And you have all these elements that you're having to dodge and deal with. But there's also a time limit that they throw on top of that, which makes it even more not my game. At least difficulty-wise. Like, even in the early stages, getting through that first line of cars is difficult for me because, like, the inputs on this game, I don't know how it was physically on arcade, you'll have to tell me, Dustin, but the inputs on the version I played on my computer were so immediate, which usually should be great. Like, response time should be great, but I was, like, making mistakes left and right trying to go.
Like running into cars.
Yeah.
Instead of going behind them, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's just a part of it. You've got the upside that as soon as you tell Frogger to do something, he's going to do it. But also, as soon as you tell him to do something, he's going to do it.
And yeah, so that's great in fighting games.
That may translate a little bit. Like, he talked about playing, like, this was a joystick kind of game on most of the early versions. Because on arcade and on, like, at least Atari, which were, you know, some of the earliest versions, you're playing with a joystick. And there is at least a little bit of physical delay there where you're pushing a stick forward before it registers that you won't have when you're playing with the immediacy of like keys on a keyboard right now. And so I could see how fundamentally there might be a little bit of delay that you almost need that you were jumping the gun. Pretty much you're just bad at this game though.
Yeah, no, that's, I think that's it. I also just realized I have my fight stick right next to me and I could have hooked it up and used a joystick to see, but I didn't do that. Oh, well.
So we've found one game that Kenny and Dustin are somewhat decent at and Nolan's not.
The one game ever that we...
We just have to go back to 1981.
Yeah, before I was even a thought.
Okay, let me admit this, though, because I played Frogger for a long time, at least the PlayStation version or different versions. For this base version, I did not know until this week... This is really bad. I did not realize that you can land in the slots at the top of the screen even if a fly is not present. And so I would wait, first playing this week, I would wait until there was a... Because it's water. Because it's water at the top. So I would wait until there was a fly there in that slot and then jump forward, which sometimes works, but sometimes doesn't because it's completely random whether or not it shows up there. So I would lose entire games because I was waiting on a fly that was never going to show up.
Wow. That's frustrating. I probably didn't do this for as long, but again, because you're not supposed to be in the water, when I was first playing through, I would cross the street, I would cross all the water, and then the little gaps of land that are supposed to separate the little, you know, nuggets of space that you're supposed to go into. Nuggets?
Nuggets, I'll take it.
Yeah, these little, like, water nuggets that you're supposed to sit in. I'm just really committing to it.
Not water nuggets. What?
Then it's too much?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
well, either way, there's these little, like, slots, these little niches of water space that you're supposed to go into. And it doesn't feel like that's where you should go because water has been bad this whole time. And so I kept running into the land and dying. And I was like, why am I dying? I got so upset. And then I was like, wait, I must have to go into the other one. It makes no sense, logically. But the whole game doesn't make any sense.
They could have, like, put little lily pads at the top or something, right?
Absolutely.
To change the... And the whole game does make sense. Why did Frogger have to get to the other side of the road? I mean,
it's like a bad joke. They should have just made it a chicken, and it would have been way better.
Chicker?
Were you one that goes for the bugs, goes for the female frog?
Of course.
Are you one that just tries to get to the end?
No, you got to get those bonus points.
No.
It's a game about score. And so as long as you have enough time to get through that level, you got to be watching your time a little bit or have a sense of it. If you can snag some bonus points. Easy, every time.
If it happens, that's nice. If it doesn't, then I don't care.
See, you don't go out of your way to get them?
No. But I did notice, and what's the female frog? The purple thing?
It totally depends which version of the
game
you're
playing. Right,
because
mine was white.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah,
mine
white,
so
purple.
Many different colors. I think I played the OG frog.
Oh, there were all sorts of versions of this game. And the quality of them, though the gameplay is similar, is vastly different from each other.
Yeah.
Completely. There were some of them that I thought were beautiful and looked nice, and I would be willing to spend time playing, because even though it had a retro feel, it was like, okay, that was well put together.
Yeah.
And then there were some that were just really, really, really bad. Like, while I think the original arcade looked and played pretty nicely, one of the earliest versions, the Atari 2600 version, at least the Atari 2600 version released by Parker Brothers, because there were almost multiple releases even on some certain console, was one of the uglier games you'll ever look at and has no appeal whatsoever, even though the gameplay is still kind of similar. I couldn't spend time playing it. It was too frustratingly ugly.
Yeah. I don't know why they're all so vastly different. To me, the black and white Game Boy one looks best because it's very simple and I can see what everything is. But with all these weird colors, like the turtles were red in mine and the grass was purple.
Was purple? Or maybe the median.
The median was purple. Median was purple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because there's a safe spot between the cars and the river, and then a safe spot on which you begin. And that kind of median of the street is purple. And I mean, yeah, some of the colors are different, but in my opinion, regardless of the version you play, you can very quickly know what's what, or at least know what's safe and you can very quickly. I mean, it's street with cars, and then it's water with logs and turtles.
And the gameplay is somewhat similar, but I think some of them are bad enough and some of them are good enough that in my mind, like, if we're telling people, hey, you should go back and play this game or don't, it's worth kind of
noting a caveat.
There are certain versions that are more worth playing than others, because there's some that really are bad versions of this game.
Based on the level layout and the level design, right before you jump off at the very top to your intended destination, the current is always moving to the right. And so you're trying to land on these logs as they move across the screen from the left to the right. They start relatively slowly, and as you progress in stages, they get very, very fast. I think there's only three different speed settings, honestly, but still. Can we talk about the far left slot? And how that is by far the most difficult.
Certainly the most difficult to get to.
Well, it's the hardest because that last lane of logs/crocodiles is going the other way. So you have to get on it at the very end, which is so hard.
Well, and the thing before it, the turtles before it that are moving to the left are timed. Yeah, these turtles that we've talked about, we didn't mention this mechanic, but they slowly sink. It's like turtles that are swimming up. And then they go down, and then they're gone. And so it does give you a visual warning there. Yeah, all the turtles, but it's especially frustrating in that row. And so the turtles, you can't stay on very long. And so it's the slot that you certainly have to, like, hop up and down and back down and back up and really be strategic about the most. The far right, the middle,
easy,
all
right?
of those,
because you can wait
easy
the whole
peasy.
Time.
Yeah, but that far left slot, that's the challenge mode slot, certainly.
Well, it's the challenge mode slot because, and it, just in case you haven't gotten it, you can't wait as you can on the others until you get to that spot. You literally have to jump twice up in quick succession to clear two lines, technically, to get there in that amount
and
of time.
From a line that is going to disappear if you stay on it too long. And so it's the only one that I found myself consistently having to, like, meta-strategize about. You know, look at the whole picture and be willing to move up and back down and slowly migrate your way over and be thinking about the fact that you have to end up there when you start. Everything else, the current kind of takes you there and you figure it out. It's easy.
Did you guys think the balance of the game, if you're thinking about the time limit, is done well? Like, sometimes I was like, that was kind of really fast for how difficult this stage is on, but again, that might just be me not adapting and getting better.
For me, the timer wasn't usually most of the problem. I just found that the difficulty didn't ramp up for me very evenly. It went from, like, I could do this all day and never have any problems with it at all to, like, okay, shoot, I'm actually going to die.
Yeah.
And there was nothing in between. There was, like, difficult levels. Again, you could play this game and get better at it and be fine, but there were games that were hard, and then there were games that were so easy it almost felt boring. Like, there wasn't a good ramp up of consistency. Tetris or a game like that, you get this nice, like, each level's a little harder, then you get challenging. Here, I felt like it was off or it was on. Maybe that was just me, but
Yeah, for me, it wasn't timer. That was I was never really racing against the clock, at least as far as I got. It was the speed and the amount of vehicles that would come. So I think after right. the third or so level, you've got these race cars that come across on probably the second or third line up of the cars. And there's three, one after another, and they kind of keep coming. So you just have to hit that in between just perfectly while the traffic right before it is moving in the opposite direction. And that became hard for me. It was never hard for me necessarily to cross a river. Obviously, every once in a while, I'd fall into the water, as we all do, right? But it was the race cars that kept getting me.
I feel like I was totally the opposite. I feel like the road never gave me a hard time at all. I always died. And I mean, I obviously died a little bit everywhere as I was learning it, but I died way more on the river than I did on the road. I'll cross that road all day, no problem.
When the game came out, it was recognized as the arcade game with the most ways to die.
Yeah.
Can we try? Don't look. Can we try and list all nine?
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
And I don't have a list in front of me, so I'm going to work with you guys. Let's just try to, without looking at any kind of list, let's try to work together one at a time and come up with the list of nine. Kenny, you start.
Yeah. Run out of time.
Okay. Nolan?
Run over.
Okay. Drown.
Move off the screen.
Eaten by a crocodile.
Why aren't you giving another number, Kenny?
Oh. Lose one?
I don't know, maybe.
We're going to have to come up with 10 or 15 because yeah. I'm not giving us credit.
Bitten by a snake.
Mm-hmm. Jump into a car.
Yeah,
like don't get hit by it, but like just touch
Frogger
it.
Frogger takes off driving.
Yeah,
one of
like those moments that Nolan, like instead of going into the road and the car hits you, like you hit the car, like you jump into it.
Okay,
no. I don't know if that's separate.
It's a little different, but
it's
not.
Definitely not separate in the list of nine ways. I mean, you get ran over by the car either way.
Okay. Jump onto land. As dumb as that is, at the end.
No, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The problem I ran into where you're not jumping into your. Into your nugget.
Yeah, into your little water nugget is what you
exactly.
As opposed
that's
to
what
a
we've
land
decided
nugget.
It's called.
What else? There's a few other ways, right?
I don't know.
Car, water, snake.
I think
gator.
I think if you're counting nine, you're counting like you could have a turtle sink under you. You could be on a turtle and it could disappear.
Yeah, but is that
we didn't mention
though?
That one? Well, I know, but that's separate than from like just jumping into the water.
Turtle sabotage.
It's still drowning, but it's a different way.
Well, we have no idea how many we just counted, but I'm going to give the nine now. I pulled up the list. Okay. Being hit or being ran over by a vehicle.
We said it.
Jumping into the river's water.
Mm-hmm. We said it.
Running into snakes.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of said it.
That's the same thing. Yeah, we did.
Being eaten by an alligator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Staying on top of a diving turtle until it has completely submerged.
I saved us by saying it at the last minute.
Riding a log or alligator or something off the side of the screen.
Can you say that?
We said it.
Jumping into a home already occupied by a frog. We didn't say that.
Oh, we never tried that because I'm not stupid.
jumping into the side of a home or a bush.
That's yeah,
that's
the little water
nugget
problem.
Yeah. Or, no, the land nugget. The water nugget. Oh, you're saying the water nugget is the land?
No. The water nugget's where you got to land, but when you hit the land, you're going there because you didn't know the water nugget was the goal. You thought
the
water nugget would
kill you. He's
talking about the land tenders. Same problem. It's a semantics issue, and I love that we get to keep saying nugget.
No, please. It's land tenders and water nuggets.
Land tenders and water nuggets.
I hate you, Nolan. Land tenders.
Damn land tenders.
And then finally, running out of time.
I think we said
yeah,
them
we got them all.
We got them all.
We got all nine. All
right, that's a wrap. Congratulations.
That's gameplay.
Oh, so here's the thing about these kind of games, gameplay wise, that I think is not frustrating.
I like
to
it. Kenny, stretch it out. Let's keep this thing going, man.
No. This is one of those games that I feel like for most people is either a you'll love it or you'll hate it kind of game. I don't feel like I can feel like people either like the simplicity of the quick action, test your reflexes and be thinking about the puzzle, hit the directions kind of things, or they don't. And I don't Yeah.
It's one of those super simple designs. Like, I'm thinking Dr. Mario or other things like that where there's not much to it. You're not going to get new gameplay 30 minutes in. You'll get the experience.
One thing the whole time.
Within 5-10 minutes, you know?
Right.
And then you're just doing that. And so it's if you like those 5 or 10 minutes, then you'll probably like the game.
Right.
But if you dislike those 5 or 10 minutes, you're not going to like the game.
Exactly. Either the challenge will appeal or, yeah.
Even if you like it, I don't see anyone playing the game very much, like for an extended period of time.
If you're trying to set a record or you're trying to compete against a friend or, you know, you have some kind of appeal there, I guarantee you this game made some money on quarters.
Yeah, sure.
Just from that.
That's what these early arcade games were all about. It was not about character development. It was not about graphics. It was not about expanding a delicious story. It was just about giving you some tantalizing, quick gameplay that makes you want to keep trying. And so it had that kind of something, that substance that made you want to keep coming back to it and do better than you did the last time.
Yeah, but this one less so even than others. I think like Ms. Pac-Man, I think Galaga, I think some of those had things about them that on their own felt more strategic, felt like the levels changed as you went, felt like the difficulty ramped not just in speed, but in terms of movement of the enemies, where you got to shoot different guns, or there was a little bit more depth, even in those other classics. This is one of those, it's the same puzzle, and it just ramps up faster. And so even among people who like older styles of games, I feel like this one's going to be divisive on terms of the people who like it, we'll do it and we'll play it forever and we'll love it and we'll get competitive and go for those high scores and school everybody. Everybody else will just dislike it altogether.
Aged.
Well, how do you think that it aged? It's now, what, 30 plus? Like, it's super old, by the way.
Really old.
And how has it aged? We're talking about this game specifically. Sure, there's been ports and clones out the wazoo, but this kind of earliest arcade, maybe even Atari, some of those early... How has the game aged till today, 2017?
Well, it gets the job done. Like, you're playing the challenging little arcade game that you played back then. I don't think, like you said, the graphics were even a topic or a conversation back then or today, so it's like... That part didn't age, really, and you can still get a challenge out of it if you're looking for a classic arcade game. So I guess it aged. I guess that means it aged well.
I don't know. I kind of disagree, Nolan. Not on the fundamentals of like the game has stayed the same, and it's going to either appeal to you or not. I agree with. But again, I think there were so many different versions of this game. It was such a simple game that once I felt like I knew it this week. And I knew we wanted some things to like talk about with the history of this game. What I did with my time was go back and look at other versions of the game. And they're so vastly different that I think that if you look at the GBA version, which nailed it, made it feel retro, looked good and clean. If you look at the Genesis version or some of these others that were really great, the DOS version looked great but went really orange. Like, I think there are versions of this game that if people play it, they're going to be like, okay, it looks good, plays cool, it's fun. I would not tell anybody to pick up that early Atari 2600 version because it's just, I don't know, like truly ugly. Not just retro ugly, but like uglier than the arcade and terrible. And so I think which version you play will affect whether you like it or not. The PlayStation 1 version where they tried to make it new and shiny they did on all those and you have 3D polygons.
But that's not
ugly.
The game that we played. That's a totally different game.
But what I'm saying is it matters because Nolan was arguing that the gameplay stays exactly the same, and it does on those games. It's still exactly the same forward and backwards, but like music and tone in the setting totally changes whether or not it's appealing in my mind.
See, I'm more with Nolan on this in that I think that for these early arcade games, it's not that really the only thing that you're asking is, do the mechanics still work flawlessly? There's a few other things. I mean, if the music is grating or terrible, like music on Dig Dug aged poorly, in my opinion, just because of what we talked about during that game. But I think the sound effects work well here. I think that you can always tell, even if you play these earlier versions, you can tell what's what. It's not the prettiest. It's not beautiful to look at. But either way, I mean, what? You want high-def frog jumping across the street? Like, that's not going to do much for me.
No, my favorite versions of this game still had that really retro feel. They just did it clean and with good music and really fluidly. It was the ones that did it badly that I think you can ruin a game that's classic if you're not careful.
By changing too much? What are you saying?
Yeah, any number of things. Like, NES version looked pretty clean, but the music was absolutely terrible. And so, I don't know. It just, for me, even though the game is really simple, because it was made so many times, I just feel like there were versions of it worth playing and versions that weren't.
I kind of feel like I need to play some co-op. I want to experience that that other angle to the game. And
y'all
see
should
if
come
I
visit
have...
me. There's an arcade nearby and we can play it.
Oh, that's weird. We were just there, if I recall.
I agree. I see what you're both saying. Co-op, I think it would make you enjoy it more. I mean, co-op in a lot of games would make you enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah,
but
I don't think
that that's going to affect the agedness of it. I think I agree some of what Kenny's saying. There's better versions than the original version. Obviously, when you got a game that's that old, then you have time and better hardware to produce a better quality game. And so I think there's better versions. However, I think the mechanics still on the earliest ones still work flawlessly. You can still tell what you're looking at. Still works with the sound effects. And it does really well with that.
Here's one of the things we always talk about, or one of the things we often talk about in this section that I think does matter, and less so in this game, is its legacy. It's been made a million times, and there's a reason for it. Because
I think that's actually a million and like five or something.
Yeah, like even though it's been made... lots and lots of times. Oh, I had a point here. Some of its legacy is less about the game itself, but more about the fact that people are almost universally familiar with this game. Everybody knows about it. So much so that it even made an influence on pop culture. I would argue if your game becomes the butt of a joke, a running joke on Seinfeld, not just about the fact that the characters play the game, and that actually for years, the fictional playthrough of Frogger became the score to beat for years. And people knew it was achievable but hadn't done it. But where literally the plot of one of your episodes on one of the best TV shows ever revolves around a real life version of this game. Like, you're just known. People know about this game and it had an impact on culture. Even if as a game, it's sort of simplistic and kind of whatever. I don't know. It was clearly a notable game for a lot of reasons, and I think that's just worth pointing out.
And I think if we're talking about the legacy, or at least back when it came out, I think it was unique and kind of different from those other classics that we hit on, so Pac-Man, Galaga. This one's very silly in comparison to some of the other ones, but it worked and gave it its own thing. And I feel like that was very important in branching out, like, the styles of arcade games that were available. So that's pretty cool that they ventured into something like this, which to me is a very silly and funny game and point of a game.
Final thoughts.
So this brings us to the point in the episode where we determine whether or not we're going to give this game, Frogger, our vote for New Game Plus status. That is our general thumbs up or thumbs down, saying whether or not we suggest that our viewers find a copy of this game and play it, or reserve their retro gaming time for another retro video game. I'll begin and just say that this is one of those arcade games that does sit among the classics and is a game that I think everyone should know about and have at least played once. There is a simple design to it. There are strong mechanics that make it super playable and replayable and replayable and replayable and will eat up all your quarters, and enjoyable today as it was nearly 40 years ago. I'm going to go back to a thing that Kenny said, and that I think you're going to either love it or you're going to hate it. And although I think that everyone should play it at least once, I don't think that it holds a strong enough quality for me to say that everyone should like have a full on-out experience with it. I think you need to know about it. I think you need to have played it once. But I don't... It's right there on the verge and of me giving it or withholding. But I'm going to go ahead and withhold for this one and say quality game, fun game, classic arcade game still. I'm not taking any of that away. But at that, I cannot give it my vote for New Game Plus status still.
I don't think it's that classic. I mean, I can't argue with the numbers. Over 20 million copies sold, and that was in 2005 after it had been ported so much, so even more now. But yeah, I'm a little confused by that number because and it may just be me in preference, but I don't think this game is that classic. I don't think it's a must play. I don't think it's that fun. And so no, but without all of those compliments Dustin gave the game.
I agree with where you landed and totally disagree with how you get there, because yeah. I think that it is a fun game and a good game and a very good arcade. I want to even change my opinion, but I'm not going to put the power in Kenny's hands to then decide for us. And I'm going to stick to what I said. But like, out of all things that I've disagreed with you with on this podcast, like, that's one of the ones that is one of, for some reason, is evoking a stronger feeling in me. Maybe it's just, I don't know what it is, but yeah, I'll stop talking now. I'm just angry.
Yeah. I just didn't get there.
I'm kind of in your camp, Dustin. Like, this is classic with a capital C. I think it needs to be respected for that. I do think, Nolan, that one of the reasons it was remade so many times wasn't just because it was super fun, though people enjoy it obviously, but because it's so simple that it was an easy game to make. And so I think there's some arguments there that if you're looking at, was a game great? Well, it got made 100 times, it had to have been great. I think part of it was this game is recognized and this game is easy to make, but obviously fun. And so, Dustin, you took all the words out of my mouth. It's classic game. Be familiar with it if you've never seen it played and happen to be walking through an old school arcade, throw a couple quarters in and get truly nostalgic, but not worth going back and playing just because ultimately too simple, and because, you know, things like the difficulty, like you'll not have fun and then you'll suddenly be challenged beyond what you're comfortable with. And just as a game, it's not great enough for me in my mind. So across the board, no New Game Plus.
Of this New Game Plus era, this is the first to not receive our vote, and it sucks that it has to be Frogger. And yeah, like,
I know
people are going to be frustrated with us.
I don't care.
No.
Yeah.
There's better old games.
Yeah, but I mean, that's also not how we make our decision.
No, but it's
are there
partly
better games? Like, one game gets New Game Plus status, then, and the others don't.
Okay,
it doesn't
fine.
Match
well,
up.
Then I just didn't have fun. So,
we got a few of you writing in this week to ngppodcast@gmail.com, and you let us know your opinions and thoughts of the game. George wrote in and he said, I love George. This game. However, I must admit, I spent most of my time playing the Amiga version. I'm not sure if it was an official version or a clone. It was cool though, because the frog used to leave a great big blood patch when it was run over.
Yeah.
Thanks for the podcast.
Early violence.
Yeah.
That's gruesome.
George. Do you think there was a setting to turn the graphics off? To turn
There's
gore
definitely
off?
Definitely not. To turn the graphics off entirely, where you just kind of guess
with
where you're
just stare at your TV.
You just have audio.
Zion also wrote in. He said, I would like to say that this game was special. I would like to say that this game was great. But the fact is, well, it was not so great. I tried to get back into it, and it seemed, well, old. I remember sneaking off after school to play old games like this at our local arcade, but now it does not do it for me anymore. Max Payne was great, and I loved Metroid, so I think I will get back to playing them. Thanks to all three of you, the new format is great, though I miss the Street Fighter intro a little. So do we.
And that's coming from somebody, if I recall, that played some pretty old games and played them hard and far. Like, he dominated Dig Dug, if I recall.
He did.
Or one of those games like that, that's simple and whatever. And so, like, yeah, in my mind, if it doesn't do it for Zion, it doesn't do it for anybody.
Yeah, Zion's one of our older listeners who played a lot of the early arcade games. And so, yeah, he would know. Yeah. He does say thanks to the three of you and whomever is editing your show. The work you guys put into this podcast is amazing to me. P.S. I would like to hear your thoughts on the new SNES Classic and the new Xbox One X. Just picked up the SNES and am excited to play with it. He always gets the new toys.
He got one?
Yeah, he always does, dude.
I don't know. I don't have many. I haven't thought about it much. What do you guys think about the SNES Classic?
It looks fun. I think the lineup's pretty good. It misses one or two titles, but outside of Chrono Trigger, it's top
notch.
Pretty
good, yeah.
I think they did an even better job on this one than on the NES. Nintendo.
Yeah.
Though normal production problems and Nintendo shenanigans.
And no one will ever be able to have one.
Even with the bonus of Star Fox 2, like I think they did very well. I agree with you. Yeah. They could have replaced one or two games, but I'm not going to play it anyways. So, you know.
Yeah.
Thanks, Zion. And then finally, we got one more email from Bill.
George.
Hey, guys. I am old enough to have played Frogger in the arcades. I sucked at it as a kid. As an adult, I found the game really fun and not very challenging. It's such a classic that I would suggest everyone play it, but I don't think anyone needs to play past the first level to really get what the whole game is about. I wanted to write in because although Frogger is good, the Elements Game of the Month, Child of Light, was amazing. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, do so. Keep up the good work, guys. I can't wait to hear what the next game is.
Shoutouts. Child of Light was a lot of fun to talk about.
Child of Light was a lot of fun to talk about. Frogger was a little bit of fun to talk about. I agree with what he's saying, that if you had to pick between Frogger and Child of Light, go Child of Light.
Probably so. Yeah.
It's totally not a fair comparison.
No, it's not. Considering that game's not even retro by our definition, it's bonus content, you know. But it is a great game.
They both have land tenders in them.
And water nuggets?
No water nuggets in Child of Light.
It's the time of the week to randomly select the next retro video game that we're going to be playing. But wait, it's not so random this week.
What?
George. So once every so often, we have a Patreon pool. What is a Patreon pool?
Oh, I'll tell you what a Patreon pool is. So Patreon pool is a chance for those who support us on Patreon, our wonderful patrons, to have a little bit of influence as to what games we play. Our normal pool of games that things get pulled from is pretty vast. And so this is a chance for people who support us at a certain level and above to vote in a couple of games that they specifically want us to play. And then we compile all of those suggestions together. And instead of pulling from our giant retro master list, we pull games from just a couple of suggested games. And that means the power is all in their hands. They can pick some games that are awesome, that they just want to see us play. They can pick games no one's heard of, that they're nostalgic for, that they just want to revisit. Or they can be trolls, like a few of ours were this time around, and pick some really terrible games they want to see us suffer through. And so it's kind of our fate in our viewers' hands, and it's always a bunch of fun.
So we've got some very interesting games on here. I won't read through them all, but we've got the classic GoldenEye 007. We've got Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. We have three or four Toe Jam and Earls. I'm hoping for that one today, guys. We've been trying on this one for a while now. We've got the original Halo. We've got Color a Dinosaur, which is exactly what it sounds like.
Oh my gosh. What is... I want to play that.
We've got Yoshi Island, Donkey Kong Country, Donkey Kong, Star Fox. We've got a whole slew of games.
Nice.
Regardless of what comes, it's either going to be fun or terrible or both. Randomizing now. I promise this is what the randomizer selected. We are going to be playing a 1993 electronic coloring book video game for children called Color a Freaking Dinosaur.
Nolan, you had to say something. You know, Nolan, this is your fault.
Wait.
I'm not even going to blame Bill or whoever trolled us by putting this on
Bill.
The list. It was Bill. I'm blaming Nolan. Did you hear what he said? Go back and listen to the clip again. He says, that game sounds great. I want to play it. Or something along those lines.
This is rigged. The RNG on our Patreon polls are always so bad. And I'm sorry for the Toe Jam and Earl.
We're going to play Toe Jam and Earl at some point. In fact, I think there's going to be a Patreon poll at some point where everyone's just going to put in Toe Jam.
Just puts it in. Yeah.
Actually, there's going to be one game that's separate. And that's the game that's going to be selected.
That almost happened that one time.
Yeah.
It was like 80% Toe Jam and Earl, and it missed it.
Color a Dinosaur is for ages 3 to 6, but some old men are going to play it this week. It's for the Nintendo Entertainment System, and wow.
Hey, at least it's dinosaurs that we're coloring. There are worse things.
This is a whole episode. I thought Frogger was going to be hard.
All I'm saying is, when my art is done, I'm posting screenshots.
We all are.
And... you are going to see some of the most beautiful dinosaur art you've ever seen in your entire life.
Please send us your colored dinosaurs this week. Colored dinosaurs, can I? we would love to put them up on our wall of fame, so make sure to do that.
Oh, we got trolled hard. It'll be fun to talk about, though.
In our Discord, because we do have one, and you can get invited to that on our Twitter. There is an invite link. And we have a lot of channels in there, ranging from Lounge Talk, where you can just talk about whatever, or music, gaming music or normal music, to the game of the week and other stuff. So be sure to check that out, especially if you are a patron and have not, because you have special colored names in there, if that's your thing. So come check out Discord.
So mad props and water nuggets to Zion, Gimbarino, and Bradley, our producers. You guys are the best. We also got to have a special shout out to a couple of patrons who've upped their support recently, to Starquake and to Antonin. We have not forgotten about you guys and appreciate your continued participation in Discord and continued support through Patreon. And thanks to all the rest of you for giving us your ears and your time. You guys are the best.
You could also give us your eyes on our YouTube channel this week. We have two different blind Let's Plays that are being released each and every Friday. That's Nolan with Dark Souls and myself, Dustin, with Ocarina of Time. Those are a lot of fun, and so make sure that you swing by. You can also find some of our video recorded episodes halfway through the week. Those are slightly less polished than the audio episode that you're most likely listening to now, but the bonus of that, you get to see Kenny's big old beard.
It's looking good today.
It is both big and old.
You can find us on social media, Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. Listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider of your choice. Make sure that you are subscribed so you can be the first to get new NGP episodes. Join us next week as we play Color a Dinosaur. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.